From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Among developed nations, the United States is the most religious. But that does not mean it's all religious. Saturday, on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., American atheists rallied for the separation of church and state and for reason over religion in national politics and policy. This hour, On Point, Atheists in America. Joining me now from Bethesda, Maryland, is Kimberly Winston, national reporter for Religious News Service. Her beat is atheism, free thinkers. She was there in the rain in Washington on Saturday for the Reason Rally. Now she's in Bethesda reporting on the American Atheists National Convention. Kimberly Winston, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
So paint the picture for us over the weekend. What was the rally like?
The rally was extremely festive. It was a huge celebration. I think everybody who was there, both on the stage and in the crowd, realized that this was a high watermark moment for non-theists in America. The numbers were somewhere between 10,000 and 20,000 people I have seen by the end of the day. That's a huge increase over the last time there was an organized non-theistic rally on the Mall 10 years ago when there were maybe about 2,500 people there. What was really exciting about Saturday to those in the movement was that another huge change was the crowd this time was visibly very diverse. There were a very large number of young people there. There were was a sizable representation of African Americans. I saw Latinos. I saw people who appeared to be Asian.
And was that not the case 10 years ago, Kimberly?
That was definitely not the case 10 years ago. I was there 10 years ago, and the crowd was visibly white, visibly over the age of 40, 45 was the youngest, and predominantly male.
That's interesting. They called it Woodstock for atheists, not exactly that size, but then there was rain like Woodstock. I've got a little tape from this weekend. One of the speakers was a guest on our show recently, co-host of the Discovery series Mythbusters. This was Adam Savage, I guess counts himself in the number of American atheists. He gave a speech putting science and human thought and innovation above religious doctrine. Adam Savage.
Everything that we have that makes our lives possible exists because human beings have tested the things they found in their surroundings, made predictions based on those tests, and then improved upon them. This is reason, the human capacity to make sense of the world.
Kimberly Winston was there covering the event. What were the main messages? We hear reason right up front in the very name of the rally, but what other messages did you come away with, Kimberly?
Well, I think the main message that most speakers touched on was they were attempting to ask the crowd to look around and see the size of the folks who turned out. The message was, we are here, we have numbers, and we can have political strength if we just don't give in to apathy and proudly claim that we are non-theists and we're here. And there was a lot of call to talk to your congressman, talk to your senator, tell people that you meet on the subway, on the street, you know, wear your atheism proudly. They are taking a page from the gay rights movement in trying to make themselves seem friendly and make themselves seem normal, which of course they are, by having people say, oh, I know an atheist. It's the guy that lives next door. They're just trying to make them de-demonize themselves, if you will.
Was it mainly that positive presentation, or was it also pushing back against the predominance of religion in our national conversation? Let me play a little tape for you and our listeners here, Kimberly. This is from Reason TV, no affiliation with the Reason Rally. But they were out on the National Mall on the weekend talking with some of those in the crowd.
So why are you out here today? Can you tell me about that?
To let the religious right know that they got to know where they end and we begin. They have no right to force their religion on the rest of us.
There's a kind of protest in that, saying, don't force your religion on me. How strong was that theme in the day?
That was quite strong of a theme. It is no accident that this rally happened in 2012, six, 7 months before a political election. And the rally was preceded one day earlier by a Secular Coalition for America's lobby day, in which they had for them a record number of, I think it was 260 people, non-theists, people who are concerned with secular values in America, show up for a morning of training on how to lobby your congressperson, and then they sent them out en masse to Capitol Hill, and they met with, I think they had 150 meetings with legislators. So that was definitely a message, was only by speaking up can we push back against the religious right or what they see as over-Christianization.
Well, what is it that they're asking for when they go and lobby people on Capitol Hill in terms of policy or politics? What's the request?
They're very concerned with the separation of church and state. They are very concerned with no religious exemptions. They're very concerned with health care and reproductive rights. The current legislation that's going around now about letting employers possibly opt out of providing birth control to employees based on their own religious beliefs is a very hot topic. And they also would just meet with these folks to put a face on what it looks like to be a non-theist in America. They look like everybody else, and they vote.
And they were letting congressmen know that. One of the speakers on Saturday at the Reason Rally on the National Mall was the British atheism activist, biologist Richard Hawkins, author of The God Delusion. He gave one of the big speeches praising reason and science and pushing against religious doctrine and sacrament.
I am often accused of expressing contempt and despising religious people. I don't despise religious people. I despise what they stand for.
Yeah.
I like to quote the British journalist Johan Hari, who said, "I have so much respect for you that I cannot respect your ridiculous ideas."
Richard Dawkins on Saturday on the National Mall in Washington. Kimberly Winston is a reporter for Religion News Service. Kimberly, what are the numbers in this country by the most recent surveys of the prevalence of atheists in the American population?
Well, everybody points at the American Religious the ARIS survey from 2008, and the numbers that the non-theist community likes to point out is that between 1990 and 2008, the number of folks who claim they have no religion has grown to 15% of the American population. Now, that's a squishy number, because to say you have no religious affiliation or no religious preference mm-hmm. is not the same thing as saying that you are an atheist.
Right.
But it is a sign they see as the growing secularization of the country. And I think that they think this is a group that they have the potential to reach. The number of atheists themselves in that time, in 1990, was just 0.7%. In 2008, it was 1.6%, so it more than doubled. But those are folks who at the time the survey was taken, were comfortable claiming the label atheist. And that's not everyone in this movement. A lot of secular humanists, even though they don't believe in God, they're not comfortable with the term atheist. And many atheists don't want to be called secular humanists. There are also brights. There are skeptics. There are agnostics. It is a very diverse group. It's not just people who say, "I am an atheist."
But you said 1.5% who claim that particular label?
1.6 in 2008,
right?
According to the American Religious Information Study.
On the weekend, they were saying this was the biggest gathering of non-theists in the history of the world. Here's a little tape from Al Jazeera talking with one of those who acknowledged that they're saying the Reason Rally was one of a kind.
I don't think there's anywhere else in the world where atheists would be able to get together like this in this magnitude without being persecuted or having some kind of fear.
So, Kimberly, which is it? If this is one of a kind, you couldn't do it elsewhere in the world, is the United States really a difficult place for atheists in your reporting, or is it relatively, open?
Well, I think if we're looking at the world, it is probably one of the easiest places to be an atheist, because as a speaker told folks at the rally on Saturday, in her country, when she came out, in her Islamic country, when she came out as an atheist, she by law could have been executed. She was banned from her country, and she lives in exile. That does not happen here. But that is not to belittle any of the stories that I hear about people losing their entire families when they dare to say, I don't believe in God. People who lose their jobs, their friends. There are folks who, it ranges. You know, there are folks who say, I'm an atheist, and their friends go, oh, yeah, well, okay, so what? And then there are people who lose everything.
We're going to come back and talk with a couple of American atheists who spoke at the weekend rally on the National Mall in Washington, Kimberly Winston with Religion News Service. Thank you very much for being with us, Kimberly.
Thank you.
Listeners, atheists, let us hear from you. How's your life in these United States? Is it easier to be an atheist these days? Is the world coming your way or not? Bad Religion behind us here. They performed over the weekend, punk band out of L.A., atheists themselves. 800-423-8255 is our number, 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about, and with this hour, atheists in America, their agenda, their dream. One of those, speaking over the weekend, was, this is Nate Phelps. He's the estranged son of Westboro Baptist Church leader Fred Phelps. This is the group that protests with anti-gay rage outside of many military funerals in this country, become notorious for that. Here was Nate Phelps at the Reason Rally in Washington on Saturday.
Seeing my family out there protesting, standing behind barriers with their Gary signs, espousing the ideology of their God, the prevailing emotion for me is sadness. I see the results of a lifetime of controlled indoctrination. I see a system that vilifies new ideas, shuns new discoveries, clinging rather to ancient notions about the nature of our world. A system deprived of new ideological genes, leading to a form of intellectual inbreeding that begets distorted, ill-formed beliefs.
And he should know, speaking from really a kind of a radical sect here, the Westboro Baptist Church, they're the estranged son of the leader of that sect, Fred Phelps. That was Nate Phelps speaking on Saturday. We'll hear in just a moment from Hemet Mehta and James Randi. Let's go to our callers, James in Pembroke, Massachusetts. James, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Thanks, Tom, for taking my call. I just wanted to say how exhilarating it was to me personally to say the Pledge of Allegiance without the phrase under God. Specifically, for my whole life, I've been the only and lonely person in the room skipping those two words.
Were you there Saturday on the National Mall, James, at the rally?
I was, and suddenly I was not alone.
Why did you go? What makes this so important to you?
It makes it, yeah, good question. I would say that I wanted to put my, I wanted to vote with my shoes, vote with my feet, and stand there and say that it's okay to be an American and an atheist. You can be a good person and be an atheist. So that was my investment in it.
Wow. And you were there, 8,000, 10,000, maybe more. It's look, there have been more people in the mall than that, but the organizers on Saturday said never more atheists at one time. Jay, I appreciate your call. Let me get one more right here. Esme from Acton, Massachusetts. Esme, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Let me just say I'm loving this discussion because it's answering some questions for me. But I'm a person who does not really believe in God. I'm not. I have a bumper sticker. It says, militant agnostic, I don't know, and you don't either.
Okay.
And that's kind of the way I like to look at it, because I'm not that risky. I don't want to piss him off if he is there, you know. But I'm wondering, how do you get to be an atheist? Do you sign a form? Do you, you know, a secular humanist, where do they meet? You know, all of these designations, I know what they mean, but, you know, it's not like being Catholic. If you're Catholic, you go to church and go to Mass and do that stuff.
Right.
If you're Jewish, you go to the temple. You know,
right.
But if you're an atheist, am I an atheist? Because I don't believe in God. I also don't necessarily believe in physics. I have questions about that, too.
You've got to have to grab onto something, Esmer. Maybe you won't. Maybe you're going to sit there in that perfect equilibrium.
I can't get a hold of anything. I mean, the thing is, I believe in the world. I know trees grow. I don't know why they grow, you know.
Esmer, let us pick it up with a couple of speakers from Saturday's rally in Washington. I'll put the question to them. Joining us first from WBEZ's studios in Chicago is Hemant Mehta. He spoke at Saturday's rally. He's a prominent blogger at The Friendly Atheist, where he writes about atheist news and issues. He's chair of the Foundation Beyond Belief, which encourages non-religious charity. By day, he's a high school teacher in Illinois. Hemant Mehta, thanks a lot for being with us today.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Also with us from Washington is another speaker from the rally over the weekend, James Randi. He's a well-known atheist, skeptic, and magician, the amazing Randi. He won one of the very first Richard Dawkins Awards for his work in debunking the paranormal and scientifically inexplicable. He's author of Faith Healers. James Randi, welcome to you as well.
A great pleasure to be here, Tom.
Let me put our caller Esme's question first to you, Hemant. What is an atheist? She wants to know
one. Well, an atheist is someone who doesn't believe in God. And to answer Esme's question, I mean, there's no church of atheism. There are no membership roles. I mean, as soon as you stop believing in God, I mean, and for me, that happened just kind of one night. I finally made that decision that I'm not going to pray before I go to bed. And that's that. Now, there are a lot of organizations that will support you and help you out because, like someone else said, it's a very lonely position in America sometimes to be an atheist. There are a lot of great organizations that can help you deal with that. And that's kind of those groups that put together the Reason Rally. But frankly, you don't have to join any of them to be an atheist. But what we were asking at the Reason Rally is that you don't hide from it. And if it's safe for you to do so, we encourage you to come out of the closet about it.
James Randi, you've been around for a while and carrying the atheist banner for a while. Is it really so lonely in the country today? We heard there from our reporter that 15% of Americans now say they have no religion. Now, I don't know if all of them would say, I don't believe in God, but that doesn't sound like an entirely lonely situation either, James.
Well, when we had the Reason Rally, we were not lonely, I can tell you that. That crowd went as far as you could see with the human eye, and I have a couple of them. I must say that when I got out there, I was in the pouring rain, first of all. And, you know, a politician recently for his home state prayed for rain and asked the whole state to pray for rain. It was Rick Perry, I believe. And he didn't get rain. But we got rain and we didn't even pray for it. Now, there's something wrong with that reasoning, don't you think?
Well, I expect you didn't really want it. But do you feel over the course of time you've been paying attention to this, James, that it's become easier to be atheist in this country?
Well, I've never had a problem with it, Tom, I must admit. I don't have the advantage that Michael Shermer, our close friend in the skepticism business, pardon me. Michael Shermer was raised as a born-again Christian, and he actually entered college. And about a year into college, he looked in the mirror one night and said, wait a minute, and he switched around. Now, that is an advantage that I don't have as a logical, rational person who has always been an atheist since I was a little kid. I've never had the experience of being a believer in this sort of thing, gods and demons and angels and devils and all those things. I never had that experience, so I didn't have to recover from it. But that's a different point of view altogether that Michael has from me, because he knows what it's like to have been on the other mm-hmm. side of the fence. I was never there.
A lot of atheists on the National Mall this weekend. Dave in Litchfield, Connecticut. Dave, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Look, I think I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. I did when I was a kid, but I don't believe in God anymore. But honestly, I mean, you guys have just turned atheism into a religion. You have to have a speech from Dawkins about how ridiculous it is. I don't think the people who are Catholic are ridiculous. I just think they have a different set of beliefs than me, and I think it's insulting to me, as somebody who's an atheist, to say that people who are Catholic are ridiculous because that's their belief. I mean, the universe is a big place. There's room for a lot of different thoughts and ideas, and I believe in science. They believe in science with a little bit of religion thrown in. I mean, I think you're being ignorant by having these sort of atheist conventions, and you're creating an atheist religion.
Did you say you think they're being intolerant? Dave, you blanked out for a second there.
Yeah, ignorant, intolerant would be a good choice of words. I think, you know, if you don't believe in God, like I don't believe in God, great. If you do, great. I don't care. What do I care whether you believe in God or not, as long as you're leaving me alone?
There's the easygoing atheist. Now, Hemant Mehta, you're the friendly atheist. Jump in here. I mean, you did have Richard Dawkins there. He's by no means the friendly atheist. He's very, very tough on religion. But he was among your number. You heard our complaint there from Dave.
Yeah, well, look, if atheism is supposed to be a religion, then bald is a hair color and off is a TV channel. It's ridiculous. Look, the reason we're there and we were having this rally is because it's not as simple as saying we don't believe and that's all there is to it. I mean, look, if people wanted to keep their religious faith private and to themselves, great, fine. We would have a difference of opinion, but it wouldn't be that big of a deal. The problem is there are so many religious people, religious groups out there that want to turn their religious beliefs into public policy, and those are harmful public policies. And that's one of the reasons we were there to rally against it. And to say that it's just as easy as, oh, I don't believe in God, that's the end of it. Look, about 5 years ago, one of the groups I work with, the Secular Student Alliance, we had about 50 college atheist groups around the country that we could count and we could say those groups are out there. And now that number has jumped to over 350. It's an amazing amount of growth. And the reason that growth is there is because you have all these high school students growing up in religious families who may be closeted atheists, who may be open atheists, or who are religious but doubt their faith. And they get to college and they realize, I don't think I believe this stuff, but I don't know who to talk to, and I don't know where to get my questions answered from because the church isn't doing it. They don't want you to have doubts about stuff. And so they started forming these groups for other atheists, joining these groups.
We get the friendship that would be there and the sort of sense of camaraderie or mutual understanding.
You get the community aspect of it.
What about an agenda? What about an agenda, Hemant? Is there a point-by-point agenda, you know, that we want this and this to change or this and this to be?
Well, look, if there's an agenda, it's not coming from high above and it's not coming from any book. I think individual atheists might have things they want to change. Personally, I would love to change the stigmatism that atheists get in this country. I want to change how politicians treat people who are not religious in this country. I want them to listen to us and to look at the scientific evidence instead of what their pastor says when it comes to signing legislation and passing it. But again, that's me. I think a lot of atheists would agree with me, but I don't know that all of them do, and that's perfectly fine. One of the amazing things about the rally is it's been said in our movement before that getting a bunch of atheists to do anything together is like herding cats. But we were able to get tens of thousands of people to show up at this rally for this cause of celebration, and everyone had their own reason why they were there. That's what was amazing about it. You had all these people who have very different reasons for being there, but they all came together to celebrate the fact that this was a place you could be open about your lack of belief in God, and no one was you didn't have to watch over your shoulder to see who was listening. You could openly say, hey, I don't believe in God, and no one was going to look down upon you.
James Randi, of course, faith is very important to lots of Americans. 9 out of 10 say they're believers, and for many of them, it's a very important thing in their lives. Many of them proselytize, evangelize. But from your point of view as an atheist, I assume it's a personal decision, but this kind of public display suggests that the country would be better off if there were more atheists. Why do you think that might be the case?
Well, because we would begin to use a thing that is so scarce these days. It's called reason. That's why it was called the Reason Rally. We are not being reasonable. We are not thinking. We are not making decisions for ourselves if we're depending upon a strange book called the Bible or the Quran or whatever book we happen to adhere to. I think that we simply want people to start to think. It's painful sometimes. It makes the head hurt maybe a little bit to think, but that is the way to get an answer that is based on reason, on rationality, on facts. We're so lacking in the power to be able to do that, to think independently. Now, people who are atheists, I think there are two kinds of atheists, by the way, I must say. The dictionary doesn't define words, but Webster certainly gives two definitions, not definitions, but usages of the word atheist. The first one is someone who denies that there is a God. I don't deny that there is a God because I can't prove it. I can't prove a negative. But the second one is the one that I belong to. I'm an atheist of the second kind. I say I have no sufficient evidence to believe in a deity or angels or devils or demons or people under the earth or whatever. So that is the kind of atheist I am, and I'll stick with that. I think it is a reasonable attitude to simply say, not that I don't know because I don't have any evidence.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about atheists in America. Let's go to Sarah in Smithfield, Virginia. Sarah, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to say it is really hard to live in America being an atheist because it's on my Facebook, it's, you know, in my friends. You know, I can choose my friends, but it's everywhere. It's on our money. It's in our Pledge of Allegiance.
You're talking about references to God and religion being
right.
Everywhere.
And if you're not a religious person, you're an outcast. Even if you are in a group of atheists, when you go into the public, you're still the outcast.
Hey, explain that to us, Sarah. How exactly are you an outcast? I mean, are people really, you know, getting on your case these days in 2012 because you may not share their religious belief?
Yeah, in some cases, I've actually had, you know, people post on their Facebook, you know, preaching, saying, oh, believe in Christ for this reason, he died for our sins, and this and this and this, and it made me uncomfortable, and I would say something, and they would do it more.
But
and
studies have
friends,
shown.
Physical friends say to me, you know, I know you believe in Jesus, you know, come, it's not, you know, it's nothing to be ashamed of. And it's like, no, I don't believe it. I don't. I do not believe of an invisible man in the sky that is dictating my life, essentially.
Sarah, thanks for your call. Hemant, I hear you there.
Yeah, the studies have shown that atheists are the least trustworthy a minority group out there. We are the least electable group out there. I mean, how many times have atheists, and I can say this from personal experience, how many times have I gotten to know someone and they find out I'm an atheist and their first reaction is, you're an atheist? I thought you were a good person. And what prompts that? It's the stereotype that you can't be good without God, that you must be immoral, that you don't have any set of values or ethics in your life. I mean, all these things are completely false. But if you walk into most churches, certainly Christian churches, you would never know that because they demonize people who don't believe in God so much.
Well, good without God has become this catchphrase lately, James Randi, among those who are looking for a way to follow a good path in life without religion. It doesn't sound so strange to all Americans these days.
Well, I can be good without God, and I've been good without God for a long time, as long as I can remember, as a matter of fact. They sent me to Sunday school when I was a kid, you see, and I got thrown out of Sunday school. I'm proud of that. I really am, because I started to ask questions, and they just tapped the Bible and said, but it's in here. And I said, but who wrote that? And they didn't want to hear that question. They didn't want to hear any doubt, any questions whatsoever. So they threw me out of Sunday school. But I discovered something, Tom, that was very important to me at that moment. I found out that for 25 cents that I was given to put on the plate, you could buy an ice cream sundae at Purdy's drugstore. So I made a positive decision at that point.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about and with atheists in America, their agenda, their dream after the Reason Rally on the National Mall in Washington this weekend. Hemant Mehta is with us, blogger at The Friendly Atheist. You can find a link to his blog at our website, onpointradio.org. Joining us from Chicago today, and James Randi is with us, prominent atheist, scientific skeptic, magician known as the Amazing Randi, author of Faith Healers. We got a lot of response here online. Let me put this to you. Greg writes, I think the right to assemble is fine, ditto free speech. But he asks, but why do atheists want to impose their beliefs on me? Why is there such a fuss about separation of church and state? The line, he writes, seems clear to me. What do you say, Hemant?
It's definitely not clear. I mean, one of the speakers at the rally was a 16-year-old high school student named Jessica Alquist. And at her high school, they had a prominent a banner in her public high school's auditorium that was an homage to God. I mean, if there's separation of church and state, those things wouldn't happen. And by the way, I take a lot of offense to this idea that we're trying to, like, shove atheism down people's throat. All we're doing is saying words. You have atheists writing books or writing blogs or making podcasts and YouTube videos. No one's shoving anything down your throat.
Oh, but you know the power of words. You're complaining about a religious banner. I mean, those are words, too.
You're right. Well, as opposed to, there's a lot of Christians out there, Christian politicians, like I said, who are trying to legislate their religious beliefs. Atheists aren't trying to do that. We're trying to maintain a neutrality in the government. I mean, look, I would love to persuade people that God doesn't exist, but I'm not going to beat you over the head with it if you don't. And I think James Randi alluded to this earlier. It's a good thing to be able to think critically about religious beliefs. It's a good thing to look for evidence when it comes to answering the questions of why you believe in things. And that's not something you need to beat anyone's head over. You don't need to beat that over anyone's head. You can just point that out. And I think a lot of times when atheists simply point out that religion is untrue, that these things that their pastors tell them in church are based on lies, well, you know, you're really knocking over someone's sacred cows, and people take a lot of offense to that. And you can say that loudly, or you could say that quietly, or you could write it down in a book. It doesn't matter how it comes across. People are going to take that very seriously, and they're going to act like we're yelling at them and trying to shove atheism down their throats. It's not the case.
It's so interesting. You call it lies. Here's a listener. Brett writes, the certainty with which both atheists and religious people express their views indicates to me that neither has any kind of insight. But, of course, I want to talk about separation of church and state. That's been in the news in American politics very much in this campaign season, particularly in the Republican primary, where Rick Santorum has expressed some skepticism about just how firm that line should be. Here he was on ABC News this week with George Stephanopoulos. This was last month, saying he doesn't believe in putting religion out of politics. Rick Santorum.
I don't believe in an America where the separation of church and state is absolute. The idea that the church can have no influence or no involvement in the operation of the state is absolutely antithetical to the objectives and vision of our country. This is a First Amendment.
Rick Santorum last month. James Randi, you hear the presidential aspirant there saying, come on, we have the First Amendment. That means freedom of speech, even freedom to bring what I believe into politics, into government.
But we are supposed to have separation of church and state. If you look at the statements of the founding fathers of this great country, you will find that they were all saying, no, we're not based upon the Christian religion. They said that many times over and over and over again. Have we forgotten all those statements? This is ridiculous. We need separation of church and state. I don't mind the church existing in its little never-never land there, along with Alice in Wonderland and the Wizard of Oz and such. That's just fine with me. Pretend, go ahead, but get out of my life. I don't want to be interfered with that way. I don't want to be discriminated against because I'm an atheist. I am a firm believer that there is no evidence to prove to anyone that there is a God or devils or angels. Now, if you say to the contrary, the James Randi Educational Foundation that I founded so many years ago, we offer a $1 million prize to anyone who can prove the existence of gods and demons and angels. Why aren't they lined up at the door of the studio right now? I'm looking out on the street. I don't see anybody lined up there trying to get the $1 million. That's what we've been waving in their faces. That's a big carrot, Tom, and nobody will snap at it.
Well,
and as soon as the churches want to start paying taxes on all the property they own, then maybe we can listen to what they have to say about politics.
Is that where you'd put the line? You say if you want to have a voice in politics, pay taxes, drop
that'd
the exemption?
That'd be a good start, wouldn't it? I mean, they already have plenty of influence.
Katrina in Augusta, Georgia. Katrina, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Yes, hi, Thomas. Living in the South, we're very, very staunch staunch religious area. I feel uncomfortable telling people that I am an atheist because it's I do believe there would be backlash against me, against my family. And I equate the praying at the beginning of PTO meetings and the praying at the beginning of Board of Education meetings and shoving their religion down my throat is a form of bullyism. I have no interest in converting anyone to atheism, but I believe that by not respecting the religious beliefs and rights of everyone, we're practicing the country is endorsing a form of bullyism.
Bullyism. There's another phrase for our conversation today. Katrina, I appreciate that. Let me get Bryce in Lexington, Kentucky. Bryce, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Okay. What's your experience?
Well, as the last caller said, I also live in the South, probably not as far down, but working a delivery job, I used to have a bumper sticker on my car that identified myself as an atheist, and I was recently forced to take it off because of the shouting that I had. I was shouted at in my car, and
What do they say? Believe in God, mister? Get going?
I'm not entirely sure what they say. I try to, shut them out a little bit just because, you know, I'm not trying to tell them what to think or I don't have any particular interest in what they think. I just, I kind of want to do my own thing, and it feels like sometimes you really can't if you identify yourself as a non-believer.
Bryce, I appreciate your call. Hemant Mehta, what do you say to Americans? James Randi was saying, you know, that if they think, they won't believe. But what do you say to those who do think and they come to the conclusion that religion is important to them? It can be for a lot of reasons. Perhaps they think it provides a moral latticework for them to build lives on, or a community that's important to them, or that they're, you know, they think it through, and in their conclusion, they think that there must be something divine behind the wonder of the cosmos. What do you say to the thinking religious people?
Well, look, if they came to that conclusion after a long period of thought, okay, fine. I still think they're wrong, but I don't have as much of a problem with that until they start doing what one of your callers said, which is, let's just assume everyone believes in the same God I do. Let's throw it into that PTA meeting. Let's throw it in at the beginning of that city council meeting. Let's put under God in the pledge and in God we trust on our money. It's this idea that everybody's a Christian and everyone must believe it. That, you know, for a lot of students, I mean, there was a girl a few years ago who didn't want to say the prayer that her high school's basketball team did. And as a result, she ultimately got kicked off of her high school's basketball team because she couldn't take the way everyone was treating her for not wanting to be a part of that prayer. And how many students across the country don't want to stand up to say the Pledge of Allegiance? And even if they're not physically beaten up, they are socially ostracized for not doing what everyone else is doing. We should not be putting children in these situations where where kids are going to just make them outcasts.
James Randi, what about this issue of community, moral guidance? Here's a listener, Pat, asks, if I would ask you all, she says, what about the view of writers like Alain de Botton who say that atheists would do best if they adopted the best parts of religion, community, ritual, moral guidance, organization, while rejecting the supernatural elements? Are there best parts that you're willing to acknowledge, James, and maybe even embrace?
Well, I'm all for them rejecting supernatural influences because the James Randi Educational Foundation has been fighting superstition and all kinds of belief in everything from water dowsing to flying in the air by flapping your arms, the transcendental meditation thing, for example. We've been fighting this all our existence for the last 12 years. But I must say that I think that most of these religious people are conquered by fear. They have absolute fear of not doing the right thing, of not offering up the right words to heaven every morning and every night of their lives. I don't have that fear. I don't live as a quavering individual hoping that this great God is not going to blast me away with
a bolt
of lightning.
But I was asking you about the merits that might be there in a religious life. Are you willing to acknowledge none?
No, not at all. No, some people need this kind of comfort. They need the make-believe.
I don't mean comfort and make-believe. I mean community. I mean moral
teaching. Tom, let me jump
in
here. Mm-hmm. I think it's great that they have. I mean, look, for some atheists, they miss that sense of community. They miss that sense of doing things together as a group. I found that, you know, a lot of religious people can give to charity via their churches. And that's one of the reasons the group you mentioned I work with, Foundation Beyond Belief, we said, hey, there's no easy way for atheists to give money to charities that are just doing good work out there. I mean, religious people have their churches and temples and mosques to do that. So we said, hey, if you want to give as part of a group of atheists, Foundation Beyond Belief can help you do that. And we've raised over $250,000 by doing that.
Which is good and significant. Of course, it's a drop in the bucket compared to funds raised, I suppose, by religious organizations.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think religious people have done a great job in terms of getting their congregations to give to charity. But that's not because they believe in God. I think it's because they have this huge and powerful infrastructure to facilitate that. And that's, they're so good about community. And they're so good about helping people who are part of their church. And you mentioned Alain de Botton. That's kind of what he's saying. Why can't we do that as well? And I think, you know, for some atheists, they don't want anything to do with that, and that's fine. But you know what? There are a lot of groups out there that meet weekly that discuss issues like morality and ethics and how do you raise your children if you don't believe in God? And how do you get through the hardest times of your life if you don't look up to a higher power? There are groups that discuss those things. And, you know, you can go to meetup.com. You can go to any of the affiliates of the national atheist organizations out there, and they'll all point you to different places where you can go to. But it's like we said, it's really hard because it's not obvious to everyone that those groups are out there. And, you know, part of the reason, Rally, was to show that these groups are there. And, you know, wherever you are in the country, and especially if you're in the South where these groups are blossoming, you should try looking for them start one of your own if you want to, because you're not going to be the only one who has that mindset.
We're talking about and with atheists in America. Let's go to Lynchburg, Tennessee, and Tom. Hi, Tom. Thanks for calling.
Yes, this is Tom from Lynchburg, and I am a Christian, a practicing Christian, but I do believe that reason is one of the foundations of Christianity, and that people need, even Christians need to use reason. So what these atheists are saying is not something that we don't need to do as far as reason is concerned. I don't care about the whether you believe in God part or not. I do care about any of those type of things being pushed on to other people, whether they be atheists, Muslims, or Christians. I think we all have our individual responsibility to that. And it's not a government or a political responsibility to push a religion.
So, Tom, you're saying you're a faithful believer, but you are for using reason in our public life, Tom? Is that your point?
That's totally it. Look at what the so-called Christian leaders have done to our economy. Look at the financial mess that we've gotten into. And if they were following any kind of morality or Christianity that they were taught, they wouldn't have let that kind of ignorance and that type of bad policy happen in the United States. And I think a lot of people are using that as a tool for their own purposes and for their own ends. And that's not what Christianity is supposed to be about.
Tom, you sound like an open-minded guy, and we like your rooster there, too. I appreciate your call. One more. Bill in Cornwall, Connecticut. Bill, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I just enjoyed your last speaker very much.
Yes.
It's kind of tough for me to follow this, the number of comments you've had, because pretty much everybody's touched on pretty much the same stuff. But I'm now 72 years old, and I lived... I grew up in a Christian family. My parents had fallen away from a church when they had their kids, and we really were raised with no religion at all. But we were raised with an inquisitive mind, and that caught up with me, I guess, around 20, 21 years old. And I spent the rest of my whole life as a non-theist, but searching for the real truths in life.
And are you glad for the path you've taken, Bill, a non-theist all those years?
I consider myself a post-theist.
Oh.
There's
What's
no
that?
Way to that we can argue against the fact that religion has played a very important part in our world. No question at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the Christian church has played a very important part and development of America. But if people really read Thomas Jefferson, they'll really see that he was not a Christian. And he's got letters where he pretty well spells out exactly what he thought of the Christian church.
Yeah,
got over 2,000 letters out there.
Yeah, a deist, but on his own kind of angle when it comes to religion, that's for sure. James,
if he's going to say that he's a post theist, yeah. Then I'm going to call myself a polytheist and say I don't believe in any gods.
That's a polytheist. Okay, you've got all the fronts covered. What's most important that you hope comes out of this weekend, Hemant, in the minds of Americans when they think about the atheist population in this country?
I hope they go back to wherever they're coming from. And I hope a few things. I hope they'll consider running for office because we need people who know how to keep religious beliefs and their atheist beliefs out of politics. It's about what's good for everyone, and it's about using science, critical thinking to arrive at what's the right conclusion. I hope they will help students start groups at their schools. I mean, religious groups know how to do this. We're not so good at it, but we're starting to be. Start groups at your high school. Start groups at your college to allow atheists to get that sense of community and belonging and a place to discuss their religious beliefs without any fear that someone's going to treat them horribly because of it. I want them to learn how to give to charity as atheists. I want them to learn how to not have to worry that because they're atheists, they're going to be exiled from their family or lose any of their friends because of it.
James Randi, our time is short. In God We Trust, it says right on the bill. Does that ever go away in this United States of America?
Well, if you have an eraser and you have enough dollar bills and you want to work some Saturday afternoon to do it, it'll go away. But I would say, Tom, grow up. It's time for all of us to mature, to grow up, grow out of this delusion that we have that there are great gods in the sky and under the earth and whatnot, and flying horses and burning bushes.
We're out of time. American atheists have their day. James Randi and Hemant Mitta, thank you so much for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.